A joy to be here, a joy to be in a room of people that are excited, I'm assuming, about mission. I want to start though with a question. A question is, why do we need a seminar like this? Why do we need a seminar entitled Beyond the Mission Slot? We've just spent 3 days focusing on mission. And all of us would agree that mission is important. But let's be honest, as church leaders, as members of staff teams, as people that are trying to juggle maybe full-time work and responsibility in the church, there are many, many things that take up our time and attention. And there are good things that take up our time and attention. And what I want us to help us think is that how do we ensure that mission is not one of the things that drops off the radar? I was speaking, for an example, I was speaking to a church leader in South London, or as I like to call it, Eden. I was speaking to this godly man who had been pastoring a church for 18 years. And he was about to move and to take up a new pasture. And I was walking with him, just catching up. And he very honestly and humbly said to me, he said, "Kev," he said, "the man that comes after me to take on this pasture will have to be more missionally minded than I have been." Now, again, he was not saying that missions weren't important. But he understood there were many things that had distracted him, that had an effect on how the church thought missionally, both locally and also globally as well. So brothers and sisters, church leaders, members of staff teams here, how do we together think about making mission more a regular part of our church lives? Just like the piece of rock on the screen behind me, if you haven't picked a present up from Blackpool yet, go and pick a piece of rock up, take some home for the family or friends, take one home and put it on your desk and remember, how will DNA run like the writing for a piece of rock? How will we seek to have missions running as DNA through our church lives? Now again, I want to be really, really clear. I'm not saying that you are not doing this already. But I want us to help us think, how do we raise the temperature of missions in our churches? How will they have an effect on our lives and the lives of men and women that we are serving? Now, I want to also acknowledge, as a leader in a parachurch organisation, is that parachurch organisations sometimes have taken that responsibility, particularly of missions, away from the local church. So if you are a member of a parachurch organisation, just like I am here this morning, remember our responsibility is not to take away from churches, but to give back to churches, to bless churches that we are partnering with. That's what LCM are seeking to do, as we partner with churches to raise up missional teams so that the gospel can be shared with the least reached people in London. So why have I been asked to lead this seminar? You may be asking yourself that question already. But I think it's as a leader in a parachurch organisation and a leader of a local church at Hope Church Vauxhall, How do we ensure these things go together? And it's my prayer that as we seek to ensure and raise the temperature of missions in our church lives, that after we've spent these few days being inspired and encouraged and in some ways challenged to think about mission, how will that focus remain in our churches as we drive home from Blackpool to wherever we are serving the Lord at this particular time? Now, the advantage of speaking at the end of a conference is that you can nick everyone else's ideas and illustrations as well. And Julian, as he started our time in Acts chapter 1, was very, very honest. And he said, you're probably sitting there as he was thinking, in Acts chapter 1, we've got this mission to take the gospel, not just to where we are, but to the very ends of the earth. And you're probably thinking, great, thanks very much indeed, Julian. You've just given me something else to do. And maybe you're thinking that now, Kev, you've just added to a very long list of things that I'm supposed to be doing as we raise the temperature of missions in our churches. Can we look at scripture first of all? And the slide should come up on the screen. Ephesians chapter 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I want to start by reminding us of the wonderful privilege we have as leaders in our local churches, whatever that looks like, the blessing that we have, the responsibility of not just do more, but how do we equip our brothers and sisters, our local church members for works of service. So I want to lower the temperature, as it were, lower the burdens, as it were. It's not you do more, but how do you equip your brothers and sisters for works of service? And works of service, that should include mission. How does that change, brothers and sisters, the way that we view our church congregations? To those that are going to preach this Sunday, as you look out at your congregations, do you see this? Do you see these brothers and sisters as people that need equipping to go out the great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Just cast your mind now as you head back to those churches. Where is the untapped potential that are sitting in your church gatherings on a Sunday morning? We want to use the gifts that God has given us to equip brothers and sisters for works of service. And so as we think about how mission will run through our churches and become part of the DNA, I want to look at it under three areas. If the next slide can come up, please, friends. In our Sunday services, how does it affect missions midweek, and how does it affect missions and our members? I'm going to share some thoughts. I'm going to give some examples of what it might be look like to implement some of these things in your church life. I'm sure there are things that I would suggest that you are doing already, but I just want to leave us a little bit more inspired. What would it be to have DNA running through our church lives? I also want to be honest and say I haven't got this all sorted. I've been challenged, even as I've been writing content for this seminar, there are things that I think we should be doing as elders in Hope Church Vauxhall to be raising the temperature of missions in our churches. And there will be brief times for you to discuss as well, to share the wisdom in the room, as it were. But if technology serves me right, I just want to start us there, if you go to your app, and I want you to answer the first two questions, if you can, in the polls. And the two questions I want you to look at briefly: where does mission currently shape your church life? And how often, as church leaders, do you discuss mission in your elders' meetings? So it's not going to take you long to answer those questions, I don't think. So I'm just going to give you a minute to do that, and it will give you a minute less so you don't have to listen to me. So just answer those questions. That would be wonderful. Thank you, friends. Now, you look like an intelligent bunch, so I think you can multitask. So you can continue doing the polls, even as I'm speaking to you, because I want to make the most of our time. So the first thing I want us to do is think about mission and our Sunday services. And one of the questions that I've started in the poll is how does mission currently shape your church life when it comes to your preaching? And that's where I want to start. Maybe you can see the answers to the polls there. At the moment, 20% of those that would be regularly preaching have said it makes an impact in your preaching. Sadly, it's gone down to 19%. I don't know if that's my talking. Let's think about this. central to our gatherings is the preaching of God's word. Week after week, many of us will have the privilege of pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we teach, as we correct, as we rebuke, as we encourage, we show them Christ from the pages of Scripture. As we were reminded by Alan this morning, that it's the message of our mission, is it not? The Lord Jesus Christ. And prayerfully, our desire is that the Holy Spirit works in those individuals. They love the Lord Jesus Christ more, but we want them to live differently because of that. But then I wonder, as that is our prayerful desire, as we sit under God's word, how much then of our application goes towards thinking missionally about how Scripture applies to our lives. It's right that we don't want to, as it were, make mission, as it were, front and centre. We want to make the Lord Jesus Christ front and centre. We want them not to love him more in their heads, but for their heads and their hearts and then their hands to be sort of spurred on into mission, particularly local mission, and then the ripple effect of national mission, and as we've been thinking, global mission. And that's a right desire, that's a prayerful desire. But I'm a realist as well. I was chatting with one of my fellow elders in preparation for this, and I asked him this question, is that how does missionally thinking, how does missional application shape the way that you prepare your sermons? And he said, my desire is as I point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want them to love them more, and hopefully they will go and share the gospel. And I said to him, I said, you used an interesting word there, brother, hopefully. And that is our hope. But I think sometimes we need to be a little bit more explicit in what calls to action, calls to mission, both locally and globally, means in our preaching. Sometimes I think it affects our application more when we go to passages like Acts chapter 1. It's unsurprising that we've had a conference on mission and we're looking at the early chapters of Acts. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. You can think, I can see how the application for missional thinking is there loud and clear. But then how do you apply passages missionally, for example, Philippians chapter 1, those opening verses. Let me just read them again. I'm sure many of us know them. But Paul, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of our partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. How would we encourage our people to pray missionally for our mission partners, to pray for mission locally in our local context? Again, I was struck yesterday evening when the call was, don't pray for us, but pray with us. Or Acts chapter 17, verse 26. From one man he made all nations that they would inhabit the whole earth, and they marked out their appointed times in history and the boundary of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Has that then missionally shaped the mindset of the people that God sovereignly is bringing to our doorsteps? How does that missionally make us think, when God moves me somewhere else, how will I think missionally about reaching new people, whether that's in a new context or a new continent? Brothers and sisters, how does missional application shape our preaching? So again, I want you to turn to the person next to you very briefly. Think about the next sermon that you're preaching, or maybe a sermon that you preached just a couple of weeks ago, or a Bible study that you're leading, because I know not all of us will be preaching. How might there be application, missional application, in the passages that you're preaching this Sunday? or last Sunday. Now, I want to be really, really clear here. I'm not saying that we have to shoehorn missional application into every passage of Scripture, okay? But how do we help us to think missionally in our application? So just turn to your neighbour, just a couple of minutes. How might missional application start to shape your preaching? Over to you, friends. Always encouraging friends to hear the hubbub of conversation. Can I encourage you to keep those conversations going over lunch? Let me give you maybe some ideas of how we can help to start to have mission dripping through our sermons and our application. One question I have got, I suppose this is a challenge, is how actively involved in mission are you personally? I think being involved in mission personally would help to help us think missionally in our preaching and in our application. It will help us ask different questions of the Bible text that we're wrestling with week in, week out. It will help us to pepper our sermons with illustrations of mission. Why do I have to raise that challenge? Again, I was speaking with another pastor in London with my role with London City Mission, and I said to him, I said, "Brother, can you tell me what your local ministry context is like?" And again, I was just struck by his honesty and his humility. And he said, "Kev, I've got to be honest, I'm not entirely sure. I'm not entirely sure." He'd been there for over 15 years. And he wasn't entirely sure what his missional landscape was because he wasn't actively involved in mission personally. As we think also about missional application and applying mission through Scripture, it will help us ensure that we are applying and preaching to both believers in our churches and to non-believers as well. One of the blessings I think we've seen recently in our churches, isn't we, is God bringing people to our church services, to our gatherings, throughout our ministry. We need to ensure that we are applying Scripture, not just to those in the family, but to those that we long to be in the family of God as well. Some things that are on the screen behind me as well. External mission partners, external mission speakers, as they come along, as where that is appropriate, asking them to preach, listen to their application. Listen to how they apply missional thinking to their preaching. Inviting mission partners to share during your Sunday services. Again, some of this will just be normal DNA for you. But again, I think it's just helping us think, are there little ways that we can begin to raise the temperature? It's not on the screen, but something that I've put down in my notes. Praying in other languages helps us to raise our horizons, helps us to lift our eyes to see where God is at work. Getting people, not necessarily to read Scripture in their own language, because that doesn't necessarily always help with then, what's being read. But again, I was saddened when I asked a fellow church member the other day to read the passage that was going to be preached from. And this lovely lady, converted at the age of 6 in China, but has only recently moved to London in the last 5 years or so. And she said, "Kevin," she said, "I'd love to." She said, "I will try and put my best English accent on." And I thought, I don't want your best English accent, you know? Don't copy mine, you know? I want to hear it. I want to hear you read Scripture in the way that you read Scripture. Another few things. Use examples of your mission partners' mission and what's going on in their lives in your preaching. Again, there are some contexts that you have to obviously protect information that you're going to be sharing. But again, these are just ideas. In our Sunday gatherings as well, celebrate missional activity that is going on within your church family. I think next slide, please. There should be a picture that we use here at LCM. One of the things we're seeking to do is raise missional teams. And one of the things I think that helps raise missional teams is, are the church leadership celebrating the work that is going on in the church life? So these are just some examples of how do we start in our preaching and in our Sunday gatherings to raise the missional temperature. How then does this also shape our singing as well? I don't know if we've got something on the on the next slide. Oh yeah, so some recommending some biographies as well. That's been Jonathan Carswell. It's always good. You're recommending read a biography that will inspire us. One of the joys of a conference like this, one of the joys as we gather together with brothers and sisters on a Sunday, is singing. But I also wonder if missional application in our preaching can sometimes not always be paramount, as it were. I think singing can be less so. Missional singing. What do I mean by this? If you're a football fan, you'll understand what I'm going to say next. You only sing when you're winning. Sing when you're winning. I think sometimes we only sing missionally when we preach from missional texts. That's the tendency. We'll have our mission slot, or we'll have our mission Sunday, so we can get out the classics, you know, go forth and tell, you know, great is the gospel of our glorious God. I've got to be honest, again, as I was preparing this seminar, sometimes it's quite hard to find songs that inspire mission. I picked up a hymn book from my office. I will not name said hymn book, but it had over 1,000 songs in this hymn book. And at the front of it as many hymn books do, if you want to focus on the singing on the Trinity, or are there songs that you want to use in your Advent and your carol services? And so I flicked through, and there was a section on evangelism and mission. Out of 1,000 songs, there were 17 songs in that hymn book that had anything to do with evangelism and mission. It's unsurprising, as we've been at this conference, that we've been raising our voices and singing some of those missional classics. In one sense, a shout out to the music writers, the hymn writers in the room. Write some more, please. You know, it inspires us. It inspires us. I need to rattle on. So that's mission and our Sunday gatherings. Let's think a little bit about mission and midweek. How are we engaging? Missional thinking, missional activity, missional prayerfulness throughout not just our Sunday gatherings, but how is it peppered throughout our week? And again, many of these things will be happening already, won't they? In our monthly prayer meetings, regular updates from mission partners, sharing prayer requests with them. If we're doing partnership with mission partners, that's two-way. As they share with us, make sure that you're sharing with them so that they feel part, as it were, of the church life. One of the deacon's roles that we have at Hope Church and Vauxhall is a deacon specifically focused on mission. And again, I've been challenged by this that I need to encourage her in that role. But one thing that she used to do, and I want to encourage her to start doing this again, is on a Monday morning, she would just send up, she'd been in contact with our mission partners, and she'd send a Missions Monday update for us on our WhatsApp prayer chat, so that we could be praying not just on a Sunday, not just once a month, as it were, not just once a quarter in a mission slot. But how can we be praying for our brothers and sisters throughout the week? Because I think one of the dangers that we can potentially have, in the busyness of church life, in the busyness of ministry, we can have a out of sight, out of mind. We forget to be praying for them. How are we are more connected than ever, are we not? You can pick up a phone, WhatsApp someone on the other side of the globe. But sometimes I think we're endangering the business of life just to let those connections slip, and to encourage our church partners and encourage our church families to be encouraging our church partners. Again, I think it was Julian on Monday evening that those people that were holding the ropes but stayed in the UK, some for 29 years, and I think one person for 34 years, holding the ropes. And let's be honest, they wouldn't have been able to pick the phone up. They wouldn't have been able to add them to a WhatsApp chat, you know. That would have meant writing, sending them a letter across, across the seas, waiting for an update to come back. How do we help our churches remember those missionaries? How do we let our new members know who our mission partners are? Again, it's a blessing when we have new people come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord brings a new individual or couple or a family to our churches. How do we let them know about the mission partners that we're serving already? Maybe an idea is just a little welcome pack that will help to introduce new members to your mission partners. Adopt a mission partner in your home group. It's always a real encouragement for me when I get a text message from one of my old Sunday school leaders who is responsible for praying for me at one of the churches that support me prayerfully and financially. It brings a joy to my heart. She says, "Kev, I'm going to be leading a section on what you're doing with London City Mission. Can you share some prayer points?" It reminds me, in one sense, that there's other people praying for me. Maybe adopting a mission partner. Send people to visit your mission partners. Again, I've been challenged by this. My wife would really, really like to go to a particular North African country, which I will not name for security reasons, to visit one of our mission partners. And I've got to be honest, I don't want to go. I don't want to use my holiday to go to that place, you know. But I've been challenged by this. We next year, just be using a bit of our time to go out and encourage a mission partner. Make the most of social media. I've said that briefly already, but make the most of social media just to keep updated. What is going on? With our mission partners. And again, I think that will encourage us, will it not, to think more missionally. There's wisdom in the room. And so I just want to, can you turn to the person next to you? Share some ideas that you have. What are you currently doing in your church to help your church members think about mission every day? Why don't you share that with each other? And I'll come back in a couple of minutes. Brothers and sisters, if you draw those conversations to an end, if you can pick your phones up again. I don't often like people picking up phones when I'm speaking. But one last poll for you to fill out. I know some of you have started to fill it out. We're gonna move on, I suppose, from our Sunday gatherings to our we've thought about raising the missional temperature throughout the week. Now we're gonna think about mission and our members. And so there's a poll on your app asking you how many people in the last 10 years have your church sent out into mission work. And what I mean by that is you haven't to send them to the other side of the world, but are there people that you've sent out involved in mission anywhere as it were as God has called them. So just if you could fill that out, that'd be wonderful. Big shout out to the tech team. Thanks for displaying the results there, friends. So there's still work to be done, isn't there? I mean, it's right, as we were reminded of again in Acts 1, that some people are to stay in the Jerusalem, as it were. It's not that we send everyone, you know, but that's why I wanted in the first question is none brackets yet, because I want to think as we inspire, as we raise the temperature of missions in our churches, how might that encourage? How might that help our congregations think? Where is the Lord leading me to serve? So the question I want to ask as we think about mission and our members, I want this to have both a local and a global sort of focus to it. But what opportunities are we giving our members to be involved in local mission? Remember Ephesians chapter 4, we are equipping saints for works of service. But Ephesians chapter 2 is this is what we are saved for, is it not? Saved by grace through faith. But Ephesians chapter 2, for we are God's handiwork, we are new creations, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. How are we helping our churches think missionally? How do they get involved in gospel work? It's very, very exciting for me to see members of our local church in Vauxhall just taking the initiative, just being inspired and encouraged to be sent out. We haven't come up with a really slick name for this area of ministry. It's known as Tesco's Outreach, and all this is two or three people on a Friday night. This hasn't been in one sense initiated. This is not a church organized area of mission. But he's got normally two guys and a lady standing outside Tesco's on a Friday night between 9 o'clock and 10:30, just having conversations with people. Now again, connected with the local church because they want to invite them in. They want to share the gospel, but they want to let them know that there are local churches nearby that were wanting to point them to Jesus. We've had members of our church just start CUs in their offices. An encouragement, starting CUs in their government offices, starting to run services at Easter and at Christmas as well. It's exciting to see people inspired for mission and just taking the initiative themselves. So friends, as we think about our members, where are we giving them opportunities to experience mission? How could we give them more regular exposure to how God might be using their given gifts to share the gospel with others? Doesn't have to be a new area of ministry. It doesn't have to be local. But as we do it locally, is that giving them opportunities to think, how might God be using me? That was my experience before I joined work with London City Mission. I had the opportunity to go into Brixton Prison on a Monday evening and do Bible studies with guys on one of the wings there. Pardon the pun, they were a captive audience. They generally like to be there though. And that inspired me as I worked alongside a full-time LCM worker to think, how might God be opening doors? So that was that just really, those Monday evenings were some of my favourite times. But as I started to have more opportunities to share the gospel, it just raised that desire in my heart, and then the Lord led me to work for LCM full-time. But again, going back to the people that God has brought to us, members of our local churches, are we in danger of excluding people from mission? Are we in danger of excluding people from serving? One colleague of mine, as he's worked alongside a church in South London, as he's helped her to build a missional team there in that church, said the people that God has brought to that team are not the people that he would have chosen, but they are the people that God has brought. And wonderfully, as they go out to do door-to-door ministry on a Thursday, it's a bit of a ragtag bunch, but it's the bunch that God has raised up. And I do hear the expression quite often as we want to send our best. And I'm not necessarily against that, but I think sometimes when we say, we'll send our best, what does that communicate to the people that aren't going? That you're not quite there yet? You haven't quite made the mark? No, brothers and sisters, we are there to equip the saints for works of service. They may feel weak they may feel they can, they're not the kind of people that God can use. I would encourage you to say they're exactly the kind of people that God can use. And as we raise the missional temperature in our churches, it may be then for that for some of the members, that the Lord calls them to stay exactly where they are and continue to share the gospel with their communities, with their families, with their friends. But as we raise the temperatures as well, it may mean that for some, they think the Lord is calling me elsewhere. The Lord is calling me to plant a church. The Lord is calling me to get involved in a different area of ministry. The Lord is even calling me overseas. How can we encourage our members to be taking those first steps of ministry in their local areas, just to give them a flavour of what God might be doing in their lives? Again, some ways of doing this, again, giving them opportunities to visit mission partners, giving them opportunities to as different areas of ministry that you maybe knowing are going on up and down the country, sending them off for a weekend, or a week to get involved. That just give them a flavour of what it could mean to them. So again, as we prepare to head back to our church families this afternoon, one final thing before Q&A, just turn back to your neighbour and think, what's one thing that we might be able to do? Whether it's thinking in our mission and our preaching, whether it's at mission and midweek, whether it's mission and our members, what's the one thing that you want to take away to go back to your churches to help raise the temperature of missions in your local congregations? So just 2 minutes doing that, and then there's the opportunity for Q&A, friends.
Righty-ho, friends. The problem being evangelist, I do like to talk for too long, so I hope we've given us enough time for Q&A. The way that we're going to do this, if you put your hand in the air, Andrew will run to you. If you can wait until, you've got the mic, so I think it's to help pick it up questions on the recording. So, gentlemen in the middle there, thanks, Andrew. Can I just caveat, when I do Q&A questions, you can ask whatever question that you want. I can't guarantee I can give you an answer.
This isn't a question, it's just a quick suggestion. One thing I've done in our children's work is just read snippets from mission biographies, and they just love it. They love the stories. And I've heard feedback from the parents saying, they've come back and said, oh, do you know what happened when the missionary flew to somewhere and the plane crashed and the people gathered round? And the kids just love it. So it's introducing that at a young age.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing, brother. As I said, there's wisdom in the room. I've suggested a couple of things, but yeah.
Hello. I like what you say about your work with the London City Mission. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, when you're outside Tesco, have you had their sort of blessing, or do you have to ask their permission?
It's on the pavement. We don't have to ask. It's not like we're doing it on their forecourt. So it's literally just outside on the pavement.
Right. Now,
I've got to be honest, is that that's not an area of ministry that I'm involved in, and I don't have to be involved in it. Like, there has just been some people in the church taking the initiative to do it. So.
Right. So I just want to, is there any sort of new legislation that is going to restrict the sort of freedoms that we have to preach, or to not necessarily preach, but to make connections and conversations with people in the street?
I mean, as far as I'm aware at the moment, there's nothing stopping us doing it. I know there have been some profile cases of people, street preachers being arrested. I would dare to say, I think there are few and far between when that does happen. And I think, whilst we've got the freedom to do this, let's make the most of every opportunity, brother.
Thanks, Kev. On the back of that, do you have any wisdom, some do's and don'ts for street evangelism?
Yep. I would say one thing on street evangelism, the first thing I would say, make sure it's connected with the local church. I think some people who are very, very passionate evangelists and they want to share the gospel, but sadly don't always think, how does this connect with the local church? That would be one thing. One of the things we're from an LCM perspective, and I'd encourage this, not just from an LCM perspective, but we're trying to build Christ-centered relationships with people. And I think one of the advantages of something like doing it outside a supermarket, for example, there's the opportunity, and I know my brothers and sisters that are involved in this in Vauxhall have met people time and time again because it's their local supermarket. Are you with me? So I think how are we trying to build relationships with people so that we can have conversations with them. I think what we're trying to remember, friends, is we're trying to win the battle, not win the war. How are we going to win this person for Christ, not just an argument that they may have? Are you with me? So I think coming from a place of humility as well. That would be a couple of suggestions there, brother.
Hi, Kev.
Hello, Ed.
So in terms of preaching and how we bring mission in preaching, you've begun to touch on a few ideas. We often, the stereotype is the pastor who basically says, go out and tell people about Jesus. Go out and tell people. And the congregation are overwhelmed and don't want to do it. And
yep.
aren't inspired and feel guilty. How do we do that well every week without saying almost the same thing? What's your wisdom?
So my wisdom on that is practice what you preach. If you're asking people to go out and share the gospel with people, make sure you're doing it yourself. I know we're busy. We're busy church leaders, but I think we are also set aside. To be doing this. I think, as I said, that's why within some of the pointers, just trying to give little illustrations of what this might look like, or celebrate where this is happening, where other people are doing it. You know, celebrate where you're seeing a brother or sister that isn't in full-time paid ministry. We're all in full-time ministry. Some are just getting paid for it. Give an example of where they're able to do it. So it lowers the level. We're not professionalizing gospel work. We're just saying, yeah, this is a wonderful privilege. And I think as we know our flocks, better, we'll understand that at different ages and stages of life, people are going to have more time to do this in different ways, in different contexts. So in one sense, that's why I love what the first gentleman said, is that, examples, as it were, teaching this to the young children in our churches, that as they grow up, they're growing up with mission as part of, what it looks like to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. One additional thing on that, I think also, there are a couple of ladies that I can think of in Vauxhall that have come to Christ later on in their life. Are you with me? And so I think there is a level of what does discipleship look like for those people to be involved in mission. And also remembering there are lots of different ways that we can be involved in mission. I think we think yeah, to be involved in mission, I must be out there on the front foot doing X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. And so one of my passions is door to door ministry. And we train an awful lot of churches in door to door ministry. But I was struck by doing some training up at a church up in Cheshire. And there's a lovely couple that head that up. Once a month on a Saturday morning they go out. And the husband has very honestly said, I won't go out. I cannot go out, you know. But he's there every Saturday when they're out in the church building, and he's praying for those people. So there are lots of different ways that we can be involved in mission, at different ages or stages of life. And we want to make sure that we're not making people feel guilty about it. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, there is. This is not really a question, but it's a statement.
Yep.
There is a resource called Mission and Me, ? Which is designed for children in Sunday school to get them to think about mission and what they can do, even though they're so small. It's being revamped, but I'm happy to share that or get people connected with that if they have a look at me.
Wonderful. Have a look at that man after the seminar.
Hi, Kev. One more.
One more.
When you're encouraging people to get involved in mission, do you find it helpful to make a distinction between like world mission, cross-cultural, different countries, and just local evangelism? Or do you just include it all as a piece?
Again, I think that's where examples come up. So it just gives people a different a different flavour of what mission can look like. So yeah, it might be an involvement. So for example, when I think we've got some of our mission partners that are members of our local church, we've got some mission partners that are doing mission in the UK. We've got some mission partners that are doing ministry in other countries. So I think it's just helping people understand there are different ways that we can serve the Lord in different areas. Does that answer the question, Baba? Yeah, brilliant.